friendship sweeter. Knowing you're near, it's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Psalm 99 says, "The Lord reigns. Let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim. Let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion. He is exalted over all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy." And all God's people said, amen. I love that from Psalm 99, verses 1, 2, and 3. Well, here we are. Happy New Year. Welcome to the first Thursday of 2016. And I haven't said 2015 by accident yet. I did write, I do have to say, on my check just a couple of days ago, I did accidentally write 15. So, of course, I overdrew the 6 over the 5. So I'm going to be doing that for the next several months. I just know it. I just know it. Hey, so good to fellowship with you. It's Joey Kroll. I hope you're having yourself a great week. I picked up, of course, a nice little head cold at the end of last week, and it started off as a sore throat, and then I thought it kind of went away, and then it got into a head cold and a coughing spell, and now the nose is runny and clogged up, and it's been interesting. So when you talk for a living, whenever you get a sore throat or a head cold or nasal stuff, it's just frustrating. So I appreciate your prayers. I really, really do. Hey, it is so good to see you. So good to fellowship with you. It really is. And, entering in, my 6th year here at, Great News Radio. I love each and every moment. I, really do. And this year is going to be a special year for Great News Radio because we're entering our 20th year of broadcasting the good news of Jesus Christ. And in fact, we're getting ready for a very special 20th anniversary celebration bash. Details are still being finalized, but it will take place on Thursday night, April 7th. Thursday night, April 7th. Just think, the weather in April will be so much more nicer. It really will. I hope so, at least. Dr. Erwin Lutzer is going to be our special guest speaker. Phil Shepherd from the Moody Bible Institute, Moody Radio. He's going to be coming down, being part of the MC. The singing men of GNN will be there as well. And my family will be there, and we'll be there to really celebrate what God has done, what God is doing, and what we know God will continue to do through this radio ministry. So, yeah, 2016 is an exciting year here for Great News Radio. So with that being said, we're still looking for friends to sign up in the 2020 challenge. That's somebody giving a gift of $20 a month for the next 20 months for our 20th anniversary. So if you feel led to do so, you can sign up at our website, greatnewsradio.org, and you kind of scroll down just a little and you'll see the 2020 challenge tab. Just click on that and you'll sign up there. Or you could call Karen and she'll set you up with the 2020 challenge, 217-367-7777. Well, coming up here in just a few moments, we're going to take a look at John chapter 4, and we're going to look at how Jesus is the only one who can satisfy our deepest need. From John chapter 4, right after this on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends on Great News Radio.
Upon Mother.
This is what I'm talking about right here. Thank you so much for listening to today's edition of Mark and Friends right here on Great News Radio. And there was a young boy by the name of Ted Stallard who was turned off by school. Any Ted Stallards listening today? He was very sloppy in his appearance. He was expressionless, unattractive. He was slow. Oftentimes he would just simply sit in class and stare off into space, which just drove his teacher, Miss Thompson, crazy. She didn't have much patience for little Ted. But if she had only studied Ted's records more carefully, she would have understood Ted's situation. His first grade teacher made comments that Ted shows promise with his work and attitude, but has a poor home situation. His second grade teacher said, Ted could do better. His mother is seriously ill. He receives little help from home. His third grade teacher says, Ted is a good boy, but too serious. He is a slow learner. His mother died this year. And his fourth grade teacher said, Ted is very slow, but well behaved. His father shows no interest whatsoever. And Christmas arrived. The children piled elaborately wrapped gifts on Miss Thompson's desk. Ted brought one too, and out of Ted's package fell a gaudy looking bracelet with half of the stones missing and a bottle of cheap perfume. And Miss Thompson splashed some of the perfume on her wrist and put on the bracelet too. And at the day's end, Ted stopped by Miss Thompson's desk and says, Miss Thompson, you smell just like my mother. And then he left. And she got down on her knees and asked God to forgive her and change her of her attitude. And the next day, the children, I'll tell you what, they were greeted by a reformed, changed teacher, one who was committed to loving each of them, especially the slow ones, especially Ted. And Ted, after that, began to show great improvement and graduated and so forth. And several years later, she received a letter from Ted that says, Dear Miss Thompson, I wanted you to be the first to know I will be graduating second in my class. Love, Ted. And 4 years later, another note arrived. Dear Miss Thompson, they just told me I will be graduating first in my class. I wanted you to be the first to know. The university has not been easy, but I sure enjoyed it. Love, Ted. And 4 years later, Dear Miss Thompson, as of today, I am Dr. Theodore Stallard. How about that? I wanted you to be the first to know. In fact, I am getting married next month, the 27th to be exact. I want you to come and sit where my mother would sit if she were alive. You're the only family I have now. Dad died last year. Love, Ted. And Miss Thompson attended that wedding and sat where Ted's mother would have sat. See, friend, the compassion she had shown that young man entitled her to that privilege. You know, every day, if I can be honest with you, you and I, we come in contact with people just like Ted. However, for some, their hurt doesn't always show on the outside. Some people wear a mask to cover the invisible pain that exists beneath the surface of their lives. And maybe some of us listening today are living in that everyday private pain, that just eating away at your soul. You know, the pain could be caused by many different things: personal sin, rejection, bad decisions, addictions, abuse, betrayal. Maybe deep down inside, you're asking, does anyone care for me? And I'll tell you what, this brings us to our passage today in John chapter 4. See, here we find a woman who has a not so good reputation, a woman who has a pretty roughed up past. Jesus was tired from his journey, and the Bible says in John 4:6 that it was around noon. So he sat down next to a well, and this is where he meets this woman. So we pick up in John chapter 4, verse 7. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink, for Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, and as did his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered, verse 13, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, go call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. So we have Jesus here, chilling, in the dead heat of the noontime sun who was thirsty, and he comes across this woman who's a Samaritan. Jesus is a Jew, and she is a Samaritan. Now, Jewish folk and Samaritan folk, they just didn't talk. I mean, there were great hostilities and hatred between Jews and Samaritans. And to make matters worse, this woman was a woman. I mean, a man did not speak with a woman, particularly if her husband or father were not present. And the woman here at the well is really no angel. I mean, mixed up with the wrong crowd, this poor girl from Samaria has quite a reputation. She's been married five times and was living in sin with a man who wasn't her husband. Five failed marriages. Now, we don't know the great details of him, but they were five failed marriages. Five. Can I tell you something? Can I be honest with you today? When a person experiences enough failure, when a person experiences enough disappointment, enough heartache, enough brokenness, it will take a toll on you. And you will start to believe that you don't amount to much. And you will walk around in life with your head hung low. And you will actually believe the lie that you don't deserve anything good. And this is what we see in this woman. She's already had five husbands. Five times she's tried to start over. Five times she's tried to build a new life. And now she's given up on marriage, given up on happiness, given up on hope. For her, there is no turning back. For her, there is no new start. There is no clean slate. There is no new beginning. She accepted her lot as an outcast. She learned to live without hope. But friend, but brother, but sister, little did she know that hope was going to meet her where she was that afternoon. She was thirsty. I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about spiritually. Thirsty. You know, I believe that God created a void in your heart that is only his to fill. When life becomes meaningless, boring, hard, it's because we've been filling it with everything but him. The only one who can truly satisfy the human heart is the one who made it. Some of us are drinking at the well of relationships, trying to find that fulfillment. Some of us are drinking at the well of pornography to try to find that fulfillment. Some of us are drinking at the well of job titles and educations. And some of us are drinking at the well of money, all trying to cover up that brokenness. There is no human being nor anything this world can offer that has the ability to meet our deepest needs. Jesus said, I am the living water. You know, Ray Combs was the host of The Family Feud from 1988 to 1994. Remember The Family Feud? It's still around today. He was the host who took over after Richard Dawson retired from the host position. And Combs was a comedian that fit in well with the show's format and style. And on one episode, there was a lady who had a pin on her blouse. And the pin said, ask me. That's what it said, ask me. And the curiosity was just killing Ray. So he said, okay, I've been waiting long enough. Tell me what your pin means. And little did he know that the pin was an evangelistic tool that started conversations about Jesus Christ. And she said, if you died today, this is all on TV, by the way. She said, okay, if you died today and God asked you why you should go to heaven, what would you say? And without skipping a beat, he said, because I'm Ray Combs, the host of the Family Feud. And the crowd started to cheer and everybody was going crazy and wild. But sadly, little did anyone know, under that glamour of being the host of a very popular game show, under the millions of dollars, under all of that stuff was a man who was struggling. See, in July of 1994, Ray Combs injured his spinal disc in a car accident, which left him in permanent pain. He also went through financial problems after two of his comedy clubs failed. He and his wife of 18 years separated and later filed for divorce. Ray Combs made several attempts to revive his television career, but nothing really happened. And one night, Ray realized that it was too much, and he killed himself. And he found out that fame, fortune, money, Hollywood living, and everything else in this world cannot meet and need what the human heart, human soul desperately needs. Friend, there is no human being nor anything this world can offer that has the ability to meet our deepest needs. Only when we experience the living water from Jesus can we be fully satisfied. Verse 14, Jesus said, but whoever drinks of the water I give them will never thirst. Whoever drinks. Being near the living water doesn't count. Going to church, carrying a Bible around, listening to Christian music, they're all well, but that's not the same as drinking the living water. Jesus says, whoever drinks are the ones who admit that they're thirsty. And they know that only God has the water they need. And after Jesus and this woman have this conversation, Jesus reveals to her that he was the Christ, that he was the Messiah. He was the one that they all have been waiting for. In verse 28 of John chapter 4, then leaving her water jar, the woman went back into town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I did. Could this be the Messiah? Did you catch that today? It says, then leaving her water jar. See, her water pot is symbolic to her old life. I mean, she had carried that thing around everywhere. I mean, every day it hindered her. Every day it defined her. Every day it reminded her of who she was. Every day it reminded her of who she wasn't. But now she had a new definition. Her definition was no longer this water bucket. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new is here. She had an encounter that day that she'll never forget, and she left it all behind. I encourage you today, friend, if you're thirsty, drop your water bucket. Quit digging from the well that will dry up. Jesus said, whoever drinks of that water, they will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water I give them, living water, will never thirst. This woman, her thirst was satisfied. Her heart was filled. Her hope restored. Her future is secured. Because she drank from the living water. Isn't this a great song? Twyla Paris, and we will glorify. Hey, friend, thank you so much for just your time and your attention today. You can always catch up with me. I'd love to hear from you. Joey at greatnewsradio.org. J-O-E-Y at greatnewsradio.org. Well, coming up tomorrow, it's the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. Until next time, remember that you are salt and you are light and you are the hands and feet of Jesus.